You wouldn't buy a car without a seatbelt, a laptop without Wi-Fi, or go a day without your cell phone. Could a business survive without the internet? Then why are many healthcare providers and provider organizations still not connected and enabled to share critical clinical information digitally in the care of your friends and family? Welcome to Notify, a podcast from Notu. Join host Dr. Peter Schock, Chief Health Officer, and Teresa Bell, Founder, President, and CTO, as they bring the profound impact of healthcare communication to life through frank conversation in understandable language and through real-world context. They'll demystify interoperability, helping you unlock the potential of healthcare communication at scale. You'll also learn the transformative impact of being Notu connected.
Connect.
Connect.
Listen.
Listen.
Transform.
Transform.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Notify. I am so happy today to have a special guest on with me. First and foremost, Teresa is not able to be here today. She's my normal co-host. She's not able to be here. She's out doing other things, promoting the business, and I think spending some family time. So it's a good break for her. But today with me, I'm happy to introduce a special guest named Terry Wall. Terry is part of a company called CareFeed. And Terry, I want them to tell our audience a little bit about yourself, just a brief bio about yourself, and we'll talk about CareFeed, I think, in the main segment as we move through it.
Yeah, doctor, thank you for having me. My name's Terry Wall. I'm the founder, CEO of a healthcare technology company called CareFeed, based in Cincinnati, Ohio.
How did you get started in CareFeed? I mean, that, you know, I heard a number of titles there, and one of the most interesting ones to me is founder. What led you to think about CareFeed, develop CareFeed? Entrepreneurialism is difficult this day and age. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I was working for a technology company based in Cincinnati that was bringing really cool technologies to the physician offices. You know, anatomical posters and exam rooms.
Yep.
They were kind of converting those to iPads with 3D anatomicals that the doctors can zoom into and circle, and really, really cool technologies. I actually led the hospital business unit, you know, and the physician office is mostly pharma advertising, pharma subsidized or sponsored. I led the hospital unit, which was screens in long dwell areas, which were mostly post-care subsidized or sponsored. So
gotcha.
Nursing home, skilled nursing facility would advertise inside on a screen. And, you know, so I had the opportunity to travel the country and, you know, visit with, you know, skilled nursing facilities, assisted living facilities across the country. And being ad model, one thing is you kind of go back to zero, you know, at the beginning of every year. So I was like, and of all the care settings, you know, physician offices, hospitals, and then the post-acute care setting, I thought if there was a SaaS model that could just digitize and automate all these antiquated processes, it would be amazing. So, the longest sales cycle was to convince my wife to quit my good job. And
I love that. Yeah, I love that. And CareFeed, it sounds like you have a heart for kind of the post-acute spaces the work that's being done in the post-acute spaces as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Gosh, one of my favorite stories is when one of our clients used CareFeed for the first time. This is a true story, not like a parable. She took off her glasses and she just started crying. It just underscores, and she basically said, like, you have no idea how much time you're going to save me. It's amazing what I feel like other enterprises or, you know, bigger companies use technology just to make life easier for their staff. I do feel a little bit like, you know, that post-acute space, you know, just all the different paper, the three-ring binders, the just manual processes that can be digitized, automated, and just, you know, not only save the staff time, but then improve the resident experience, improve the family kind of stakeholder experience as well.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And I can't wait to get into more about CareFeed and what you guys are doing in the settings you guys are doing it. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, Terry, we'll just get right into it.
Sounds great.
Hey, Maddie, what's going on? How can I help you today?
I think my allergies are acting up. I've had a runny nose for a few days now, and my eyes are itching, but I don't have a fever or any other symptoms.
Okay, well, honestly, after examining your symptoms and examining you, I think you're in great health. And I think your allergies may just be acting up, but honestly, some allergy medication should really just do the trick.
Yeah, that would be great. Thank you.
Of course. Let me take a quick look at your chart just to confirm your meds and your allergies, and then I can get that sent to your pharmacy for you electronically. That way you can pick it up on your way home.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Maddie, I see from your chart here that you went to urgent care 3 months ago for a similar complaint, and they thought you may have had a sinus infection and gave you an antibiotic and a decongestant?
Oh yeah, that's right. I totally forgot to tell you about that. I was at the beach with my family. Wait, how are you able to see that?
I can see that because our EHR is actually No2 connected. So what that means is that we can share clinical information with other providers electronically and automatically. So essentially, no matter where you go, I'll have line of sight into your care, and I can also send your records electronically to others if they need them while they're caring for you.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. I've never heard of anything like that before, but it's great to know that you're looking out for me no matter where I go.
Of course, we have the ability to connect with anyone, so it helps us make better clinical decisions and truly just keep our patients safe. So in your case, the records I received indicated an allergic reaction to the antibiotic. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do now. I broke out into a rash and had to go back for additional evaluation and treatment, but it was really painful. I was itchy all over, and I wasn't able to get any of my work done throughout the day.
Yeah, I can imagine. Let me do this for you. I'm going to include that allergy in my chart here. That way your record is up to date and complete, and it will avoid anyone giving you that same medication going forward.
That would be great. Sorry, I totally forgot to mention that.
No, it's okay. Don't apologize. It happens all the time. We're all busy and we just honestly forget stuff.
Yeah, you're right. Thank you.
No problem. And trust me when I say we have your back because we're No2 connected. You're safer. We can see all of your care even when you can't remember it.
Getting No2 connected gives you the freedom to unlock your potential and improve patient safety. Visit us at no2.com for more information and to see providers in your area waiting to connect with you.
Connect. Listen. Transform. This is Notify with your hosts, Dr. Peter Schuck and Teresa Bell.
Welcome back, everyone, from break, and I'm excited to dig in with Terry. I just got a little bit of teaser in your bio, Terry, as we were talking. I'm really excited for myself and for our audience to hear more about CareFeed, what CareFeed does. You talked a little bit about the journey that led you to found CareFeed. Well, tell us more about what CareFeed does, the segments that it operates in, and the problem it's trying to solve. Love to hear more about that.
Yeah, so at CareFeed, we like to call it the resident journey platform. So this is specifically for post-acute care. So think skilled nursing facilities, assisted living facilities, memory care, independent, right? CCRCs, life plan communities. So that post-acute care space. And what we do is we digitize and automate all the antiquated processes along that resident journey. So pre-admission, admission, during their stay, discharge, post-discharge. And, you know, why do we do that? You know, the whole idea is to save staff time. Like I said in the intro there, it's all about operational efficiencies, make staff lives easier. And then why do we do that? It's kind of like two sides of the same coin, I like to say. Is like, why do we save them? Why do we want to save them time? The whole goal is to, you know, more time with the resident, improve that resident experience, improve the family experience. So, you know, a couple examples of what we do. Just think about when you buy a house, it's similar to moving into a nursing home. There's 90 pages of documents. There's a bunch of forms you need to do to, you know, get in. We digitize that whole process. Then when you move in, we have like a bed board, like which room are you going to move them into? All different, training the staff. There's different trainings that you have to do for the staff. You have to take a deposit when the resident's moving in. The family wants to be connected. They could log in. They could check on their loved ones' vitals. Maybe they pay the bills. All different type of things.
That's absolutely fantastic. You know, it's funny that you say that. And I think when I think about the post-acute space, I think about healthcare in general. And there's a lot of concern about how fragmented and difficult healthcare is to manage in mainstream healthcare, what we used to consider mainstream healthcare. And still how antiquated some of the technologies in that space are, meaning that 70% of communication is still done by fax across mainstream healthcare, which is crazy. I mean, that's an 1860s technology that really got a life in 1960s and 70s. But when you take a step out of mainstream healthcare, and what I call mainstream healthcare for the purposes of administrative pieces is health systems, acute care hospitals, and physician offices, and you move into post-acute services, it's even further behind in some instances there because the margins didn't justify adopting new technologies right out of the gate. Meaningful use didn't incentivize them to do things with technology and digitize, and a whole host of other reasons. But to hear you focusing on that particular area of healthcare is really, really important because of how far potentially behind they are operationally in some cases from the rest of healthcare.
Yeah, and I think COVID really was that sentinel event where it was like, okay, you know, they couldn't even communicate, just from communication. Where,
interesting.
Yeah, I think that was kind of the sentinel event where everybody's like, all right, we really need technologies and we need to improve our processes because, first off, like you said, the margins are thin. So from a technology perspective, they kind of have to make changes. But I also think that the spotlight was really shined on this care setting during that terrible, year and a half, 2 years that we just went through. So,
you know, you talk about also the operational efficiencies. I think there's another benefit of creating operational efficiency. One of the areas that's been difficult before the pandemic in the post-acute space and more acutely so since the pandemic has been workforce shortages of key personnel in facilities and home care agencies and so forth in order to be able to do the work that we need them to do. I mean, we're asking these people to take care of us in some of the most vulnerable, difficult times of our life. The least we can do is find ways to make doing that as easy as possible as we go through it. So your point about operational efficiency from a margin perspective and a business unit perspective is absolutely spot on. And I also think the benefit to the provider experience of care and the care they deliver is a huge, huge, huge piece of the benefit of what you guys are doing.
Yeah, I appreciate that. No, you're exactly right. It's the healthcare staffing shortages in the post-acute space are real. And that's exactly what CareFeed does. That's what could take, in fact, I have one 58 community that wrote us a testimonial. They said, you're saving us 2 hours per admission. I mean, just think about that. How many people that's are admitted across 58 different communities? So all these things that, take an individual person time to do. Now they can focus on other things like caring for the resident or community.
Yeah, I love that. And that's a great segue because not only is it important to the business in terms of efficiency and operational expense, not only is it important to the provider in terms of their experience of care they deliver, but to your point, if they're not doing that, they can actually spend time doing the things that they committed themselves to do by taking the job, which is caring for us, which translates into a better resident experience, potentially better outcomes in that regard. And I know you guys have a focus there as well in terms of the communication with the residents and families and so forth. Tell us a little bit about how CareFeed works with that.
Yeah. So, the way I look at it is kind of the EHR is the system of record for the resident, right? That's kind of the source of truth. And then the payroll provider, the HRIS, if you will, that's kind of the system of record for the employee. So they'll have the most accurate, obviously, if they're going to get their paycheck, right? They're going to have the most accurate email, cell phone, et cetera. So CareFeed integrates with both. The EHR as well as the payroll provider. And so what that means is as people move in, people move out, people are hired, people are termed, CareFeed is always up to date. And then, you know, so if I want to, you know, send a communication to, you know, all residents and families, I can do that. If I want to send a training to specific staff, I can do that. So that's, you know, CareFeed, we kind of look at that, you know, that's where we saw the gap is kind of that middleware between those two systems.
Got it. And describe to me how if I'm a user of CareFeed, what is my user experience like? What am I using it for on a day-to-day basis, the tasks that I'm using CareFeed for?
You know, when I first started, it was all about make the administrators' lives easier. But as we've grown, it really the whole IDT team. So, you know, if you're the admissions person, of course, we have, you know, digitized that whole intake process, right? Forms or documents are pre-populated, sign on any device after it's, completed, it automatically uploads to the chart. Any communications maybe that the administrator wants to have with their entire care community. So that's all residents, all family, all staff also can be charted within their EHR at the same time. All these different automations. So, okay, somebody's admitted. What does that trigger? Right, from resident satisfaction, family satisfaction, to invites to portals so that the family can log on, you know, paying bills, automating different tasks and things like that. Anything that has a binder, you know, the whole grievance process, we've digitized the whole grievance process, which is just like bounds of paper, anything that's paper related. But really, so it depends on the user. So if you're a DON, if you're a BOM, it's a little bit of an alphabet soup if you're not in the industry. The administrator, we have tools for the whole leadership team within these, senior communities and skilled nursing facilities.
So folks with varied roles in the institution can use it to solve various problems and move out of their paper workflows into digital workflows. People, residents can use it if they're capable, and families can use it, all of which moving out of paper workflows into digital workflows, having communication at their fingertips and data at their fingertips to complete normal everyday tasks that they would want to complete. Is that a fair understanding?
Yeah. That's fair. You know, it really is the community that pays for it. So it's really for the community's leadership team. But then, yes, that's kind of that other side of the coin. So it's all about the operational efficiencies, helping make them their lives easier. But then, yes, we also have where the family could log in. They could pay their bill. They can see the, offsite doctor's appointment. They can schedule visits, things like that. So it really is kind of, residents, family, and then and staff.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And the institutions or the facilities can use it to differentiate themselves and how they provide those different services to their residents and families, as well as their staff. That's fantastic. Tell me a little bit. You mentioned something that intrigued me a little bit. Just as we talk about kind of earlier healthcare being fragmented in general, and then the gap, if you will, or the chasm between post-acute and acute care hospital health systems in the past, and how post-acute had been kind of the recipient entity all the time and didn't necessarily, they've always been the forgotten kind of part of the healthcare system, have never risen to the level of importance that I think they're starting to and going to over the next decade, given the aging population and other factors. So it's really becoming more and more necessary for that chasm between acute care and traditional care or mainstream healthcare, meaning providers and health systems, and post-acute services to begin to close and go away. And one of the ways you mentioned doing that was connectivity, connecting to the remaining part of the healthcare ecosystem. And you mentioned a process around intake and streamlining and digitizing intake, which is, I would assume, a clinical process where they're admitting somebody to the facility and they're assimilating clinical information from across the healthcare continuum into now a new patient record in their EHR or system of record. Tell me a little bit about that and how CareFeed impacts that process.
Yeah, that was just one point of clarification. I do think that, these skilled nursing facilities are mini hospitals, and I don't think that really the forgotten or not. There's always been amazing people that have dedicated their lives to like care for the, senior population, and I just have worked with and met like just so many amazing people. So I think they've always been there, always providing amazing care. And I think what the deal is this just the technology. I think because of the age, they read newspapers. Think about the seniors today, right? If you're living in a nursing facility, you're probably 85 and your loved one's 65, maybe, your ER contact one or your POA of care is kind of like 65. So they're even seniors too. So I think it's more now, it's just now these seniors are becoming digital. They know how to, with the mobile and, internet, they're becoming more tech savvy. So I think it's just, It's just timing that it's now it's time to improve the processes with technologies and things like that. So I think that's a little bit of it. But anyways, on the intake process from the transition. So our, like I said, CareFeed, we like to call it the resident journey platform. And it really begins when the resident is being admitted. So we don't really do much from the transfer from the hospital into. We are more, once they're, are heading to a specific community, that's where we pick up the baton. And then we just digitize everything from that point forward. Pre-populating all the documents, obviously, from whether, and I would kind of call us the intersect between the CRM, the EHR, and the HRIS or the payroll. That's where kind of the gap.
Gotcha. Yeah.
That's kind of where we pick up the baton and we follow it all the way through. Pre-admission forms, digitizing the whole admission packets, pre-populated, they sign it, automatically goes in the chart. Then that triggers, okay, hey, there's a 72-hour meeting, a care conference. Everybody's invited to, the certain trainings for the staff, tons of documents, right, that have to be signed along the way while they're there. They joke around. I don't know if it's true, but they say it's like nuclear power plants and then skilled nursing facilities are number two most regulated entities. So lots of compliance and lots of, regulations that from federal as well as state that they have to keep up with. So yeah, using technologies to make their life easier is super important.
And do you guys take in digital information as well as paper information into your platform? And if so, what's the percentage of digital versus paper or paper versus digital that you guys are taking into the platform?
Yeah, I don't know if I could give you the exact percent, but yes, anything that's a paper process at the community, we're trying to eliminate. We take in not only, where we digitize that paper process, but then yes, of course, we're getting a ton of data. And actually I heard a phrase recently that data is the currency in digital transformation. I really like that line. I heard that recently, which I thought was pretty good. And so, exactly. And the key is we now have all this data. And that is what's super important is why do you get this stuff off paper? Is because now we can report on that data. How many people agreed to arbitration last month, last quarter, because you have to report on that. That's really the most important part about it is that's the reason to get rid of the three ring binders and the paper is also you need that data. And if that is the currency in digital transformation, it's another even more important reason why to digitize all these processes. So I don't know if I can give you
absolutely
that makes sense.
No, I love that. Yeah, I love that. I would imagine the majority of stuff you're taking in is still in paper format as opposed to digital content, just from the nature of it, I would imagine.
Well, we're basically superseding what's like, let's get rid of that paper and let's take it digitally.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Love it. Tell me a little bit about the importance of this big term interoperability to you guys and what that means to CareFeed.
Well, as you know, since I mentioned that we, integrate with the EHRs and the HRISs and the CRMs, you could imagine it's a very vast ecosystem. So, yes, it's very important to us. And we've spent years kind of, developing and creating relationships, partnerships and things like that. Super important.
How do you see interoperability? Go ahead.
You have to be integrated. You know what these clients are like, we won't even speak. Not only, not saying you can, that you have multiple times, you know, they want to make sure that you've done this before because, they just can't afford not to have things not integrated because then it just creates duplicative work. And so if we're all about saving staff time, whatever they do also has to be charted in the right area.
Yeah. How did you guys find and hear about No2 and how is No2 helping you become more interoperable?
Yeah. I mean, I was going to say this because you guys have made our lives super easy because you've really expedited our kind of ability to expand. So we just launched a new division called OnQ Health. So think same solutions that we're offering on the post-acute side. This is for the acute side. Kind of getting rid of paper and automating processes, things that they're doing manually today that that can be digitized. And like I said, we spent years creating these relationships, doing these integrations, and gosh, it is not an easy process. Some EHRs are easier to work with than others. Some just don't have the resources or maybe legacy systems and, you know, priorities or, different items on the roadmap. Some, I think, just don't see the big picture. Those are the worst about hey, that the marketplace or these integrations could be bigger than their own platform. And so it's been really challenging to build out a complete network because, as you know, it's very fragmented. Post-acute care. I mean, gosh, the difference between senior living and even skilled nursing just within post-acute, the players very fragmented. So, so I think now launching this new OnQ Health division, No2 has been able to just now we could be integrated with Epic and Cerner and, a whole, list of different EHRs, which really just creates scale is what it's all about.
I love that. And I got to tell, I didn't pay you to say that. But I love it. I think it's the fruition of No2's go-to-market strategy was really around serving the underserved and democratizing healthcare communication. We believe fundamentally that having the right information to the right individual at the right time in their workflow can really solve most of the big problems in healthcare, whether it's on the clinical side, which I'm very fond of, or the administrative side of healthcare. And so being able to, number one, commoditize connectivity in a way that it becomes affordable for everyone. Number two, being able to serve the underserved, meaning those people like post-acute facilities and others that weren't necessarily served by meaningful use with incentives and so forth, allows the connection of the true totality of the healthcare ecosystem, which is what you're talking about, and allows exchange at scale beyond point-to-point custom connections with everybody you're trying to integrate with. And it's really good to hear that from the way you said it, that it's actually having that fruition in the marketplace with partners like CareFeed. No question about it.
It's too funny because that's the whole name. That's how we came up with the name, and credit my wife on that one. She came up with the name OnQ Health. But you mentioned that right message, right time, right on cue. So OnQ Health, that is literally the name of this unit. So.
Yeah, I love that. You know, it's funny, this concept of just-in-time manufacturing has been around for a long time. It's just kind of the just-in-time information for healthcare, which is really important because that's when it impacts workflows, right? If I have the right information at the right time in my workflow, I can actually do different things with it. I can become more efficient, more effective in what I do. And and we talked about that in the early opening part of the segment is around making the lives of people who care for our loved ones and ourselves better through those processes and workflows, and then making us more efficient from a cost perspective, which is important in healthcare in general. No question about it. Now, when do you guys is are you guys? I feel like I'm in. I feel like this might be a launch announcement or a pre-launch announcement with OnQ. When are you guys in market? You guys are already in market all over the country with CareFeed. Yep. How about the OnQ?
I'm dialing in this morning from Becker's in Chicago. So
fantastic!
Yeah, we've been live now for well over 6 months. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic, for heaven's sake. Well, Terry, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up. And I really, really look forward to any parting comments you have. And it's been a great discussion. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hey, everyone. My name is Matt Becker, VP of Interoperability at Node2. I wanted to take a moment to introduce our connectivity report. Did you ever wonder who in your area you could connect with digitally and reduce the manual activities associated with clinical information exchange? Well, simply visit node2.com, click the link for connectivity report, then enter your name, email, and zip code, and we'll send you a report to show those providers and provider organizations already connected and waiting for you to join them. Take the first step to getting Node2 connected. It's free, takes less than 30 seconds, and will spark digital transformation that could revolutionize your business. There's even a how-to video to make sure you get the most from the report.
Connect. Listen. Transform. This is Node2fi with your host, Dr. Peter Schuck and Teresa Bell.
Well, welcome back, folks. We're back with Terry Wall. We're wrapping up a wonderful discussion about CareFeed and CareFeed's integration to Node2's API to connect to the rest of the healthcare community and really freely exchange information across the healthcare ecosystem. And Terry, I would be remiss if I didn't say it was a great discussion. We talked about a lot of different things. I want to give you the opportunity. Is there anything you want to emphasize or didn't get a chance to say that you want to say to the group as we close out today? I'll just turn it over to you.
I would say number one is Node2 is an amazing company. Dr. Schuck, I appreciate the opportunity to chat with you, and your company has been amazing to work with, and we appreciate everything you're doing to help CareFeed and OnQ Health. I would say if you are an owner operator of a skilled nursing facility or senior living community in the post-acute care setting that, has some antiquated processes and maybe lots of different softwares they're using that, you want to kind of make your staff's lives easier and improve the resident experience, check out carefeed.com. And then if you're a hospital and you also have a bunch of paper and maybe need some help on the HCAHPS scores or online reputation management, look up OnQ Health. And yeah, anybody who needs anything from me, don't hesitate. Terry.wall@carefeed.com. I really appreciate the opportunity to chat.
Man, Terry, I really appreciate being able to chat with you, for heaven's sake. And we've enjoyed getting to know you guys as partners, and we'll continue to enjoy supporting the work you guys are doing. I would just, I can't emphasize enough how much just my conversations with you and what I've learned about CareFeed, solving some of the bigger problems in our post-acute communities around making their work more efficient. And the reality of the post-acute environment is it hasn't gotten the attention it deserves in the past. And I feel like I can say that honestly as a provider in the healthcare community for over 35 years. And I think it's high time that it does. Those people are every bit as dedicated to the work they do for us as anybody else in healthcare and are dealing with things perhaps that are unique to the post-acute space. And you're helping to solve some of those problems and make it easier. And anything we can do as your partner to help make it easier for the people who care for our loved ones and eventually us at some point, I think is work worth doing. So really happy to be partnering with you, and thank you for your time very much today.
Absolutely. We're doing it together, and I love it.
You have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for joining us today. That's a wrap for this episode. Please subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode. Get Node2 connected today and set yourself and your organization free to unlock your potential. For more information on the value of being No2 connected, visit us at www.no2.com. Follow us on LinkedIn or Twitter. Connect. Listen. Transform.